Welcome to the Rapids Thugcast, episode 6, the dirtiest podcast in football, according to Columbus Crew fans, and the official podcast of BurgundyWave.com, SB Nation's home for the Colorado Rapids. How many episode 6s have we actually recorded?
Chris, we've had so many of these episode 6s that it's getting to be absurd. I'm starting to think that the world doesn't want us to record an episode 6. In fact, I think it might be the third episode 6, which would make it 6... Six.
No!
So can we get a clip of Iron Maiden playing Number of the Beast? do you think we can swing that?
That would probably break the podcast or something.
Yeah, probably.
Hey, since everybody. Everything else seems to be breaking this podcast recently.
That's true. Computer issues, issues with our upload site. You know, we constantly want to get these podcasts out. And believe us, you know, we're recording them. We're definitely recording them, either independently of one another or, you know, together. And whatever seems to be happening, like either Ooze's computer crashes or, you know, the mega upload site where we exchange files, like, just won't take any file beyond 1.25 megabytes. It's
pretty terrible.
Well, yeah, I'm looking for a word that I can actually use.
It's pretty terrible?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, crap show, shit show,
craptastic.
You know, craptastic. So that's that.
Speaking of craptastic, anyone watch that Columbus game?
Yeah, that was horrifying. I believe I used the word humiliated to the Rapids when they asked, like, what'd you think of the game? And I'm like, humiliated. I personally felt humiliated during that game. I don't know. I think a lot of Rapids fans sort of shared that sentiment of just total humiliation at the end of that one. I think Drew Moore, when after the game, he tweeted the word "ouch," and that was it. This kind of shows you the state of mind everybody was in. I mean, that's to lose to LA 3-1 at home, and then to lose to Columbus 4-1. That does not show improvement. That doesn't show like you're getting back in the game, bouncing back to winning ways. That shows that you're reaching rock bottom.
The LA game, at the very least, there were the Rapids didn't particularly play terribly in that game, and there were a few referees' decisions that they could put some of those goals on, and the full-on red card was a little controversial. This game, there was nothing.
Yeah.
There was nothing that we could, like, put aside the blame for. No. It was just Gary Smith putting out a subpar lineup, and that subpar lineup playing subpar.
Yep.
Brian Mullen didn't have anything. I posted that chalkboard article about Brian Mullen.
Yeah, there's an excellent article, guys, if you want to check it out. That is a really excellent article. One of the first we've seen using the amazing chalkboard tool that the guys at Optus Sports developed for MLSsoccer.com. If you're a stat head, please go check it out. MLSsoccer.com, you can look at any game, yes, even past ones, on the chalkboard feature. I can't speak highly enough of this particular feature.
Yeah, the best thing since you started drinking.
Yes, it is the best thing since I started drinking.
And Pau Gudde sucks.
Yeah,
Scott Pau Gudde,
Let's take a look. You know what? Let's take a look at Pau Gudde. Let's take a look at Pau Gudde specifically. We'll use our chalkboard feature. Let's talk about where we think. I mean, you think that the breakdown happened with Pau Gudde. I'm thinking it happened, from what I'm seeing, it happened on both wings. Like, both wings were simply awful. Simply awful. Like, you know.
Well, Mullen.
Mullen
was terrible.
Mullen was terrible. He was rusty.
Mullen was terrible. Smith was playing on the other wing, and he was just wandering a little too much around with no compensation from anyone else. Pablo and Jeff stayed pretty much entirely in the middle, and Smith tended to wander around the pitch, getting the ball and distributing the ball, which left the left wing way open for Pau Gudde to get exploited.
It looked like what Jamie was trying to do. If you look at this chalkboard feature and check off distribution and check off ball possession, you can kind of see where he was on the field. And if you look at it, he's not playing like a winger. You can see he's playing more as a central midfielder. Like, a lot of what he's doing is coming from the wing and cutting in. to the center of the park. Like, he's playing centrally for most of the time that he's actually on the field. So you take the fact that Jamie Smith likes to cut in to the middle. You take the fact that Pablo and Jeff kind of like to spread out. Like, they like to cover a big area just in the middle. You take those two things, and then you leave any flank exposed on the Rapids, like either flank. Like, even Kimura got burned a bunch of times. Like, Kimura was getting just pounded, you know?
The entire back line was playing fairly lackadaisical.
Drew Moore was actually his normal self. I mean, Drew Moore was just fine. His distribution was fine. His defense was fine. It's the wings that just keep being the problem. They were the problem in LA, and they've always been a problem. And they were just completely flayed open by Columbus. Columbus knew what they were doing. They attacked through the wings, spread the game, and basically just following what Dallas did in that horrible spanking we received 3-0.
The game and way earlier.
If you notice, any team that likes to play wide is going to give the Rapids a lot of trouble. That is a huge problem that Gary Smith. I think you wrote an article as to transfer targets. Please check it out, burgundywave.com.
And there were two things on there. It was a left back and a left winger.
Yeah.
Right. So,
and I think Smith recognizes that he's not getting the kind of play out of some of his wingers. Niasse has not performed up to expectations. Like, he's completely hit or miss. Like, he sometimes comes up with brilliant offensive stuff, but the guy can't defend. Like, he's not a two-way midfielder. He only goes one way. And even then, sometimes he won't be that great.
And I say he was the anti Wells Thompson.
Yeah, he is the anti Wells Thompson.
If you put Wells Thompson and Sonny Niasse together, you'd have a pretty good two-way midfielder.
That's true. That's
and
true.
A goofy looking.
Yeah, Wells is a.
Especially if you combine him with Niasse, that'd be a goofy looking person.
That is true.
I don't know. That's a mad scientist experiment for another time.
That is true. So yeah, I mean that Columbus game was, like I said, humiliating. It was the wrong game plan, and the crew had the right game plan. They had the right game plan, and they played very, very well. And the Rapids did not. So all credit to the crew. I think I definitely underestimated them.
I knew they were going to come hard at home. That was the deciding factor, is that they were at home, and the crew don't lose at home. They've only lost at home once this season, and it was to the Fire in the 90th minute, I think.
So yeah,
they got Salt Laked.
Yeah, well, they also, they've got something to prove, especially against the Rapids. There's so many teams out there. I mean, when you get that target on your back, and the Rapids do have a target on their back, you need to play like you're the champs, and they're not playing like champs. I mean, let's be honest, Chris, they're not playing like champs.
Not even close.
No. And that sort of confidence and the communication, and I don't know if Gary Smith has quite lost the locker room, but I feel like he's like the Rapids have not moved in a better direction in terms of their communication, in terms of their togetherness, in terms of their movement. These past two games have not been good. And we can just only hope that he's able to turn it around.
I think Smith is just overthinking himself when it comes to tactics and when it comes to the lineup. If he just did what worked, like, we know what works for this team.
We know
the starting 11 that wins. It won all the games for us last year. It won the MLS Cup for us last year. And there's a few injuries, like Marvell Wynn's still out. But not starting Omar Cummings and Connor Casey up top, that's a mistake. Not starting Anthony Wallace over Scott Palguta and Danny Earls, just because Wallace, I still have no idea why Wallace is being held out. But for whatever reason, he's keeping him out, and because Danny Earls was quote-unquote working harder in practice, Danny gets the nod, and Danny doesn't play well. Then Scott Palguta gets the nod next week, and because Danny Earl sucked the week before, and then Palguta stinks, and if we see Earls again this weekend, I have no idea what we're going to do.
Hmm.
So I think Gary Smith's just kind of overthinking himself when he's picking the lineup out, and maybe he's not instilling confidence into the boys when they go out.
Yeah, I mean, there could be that issue. It's just, they've got to figure it out. Hopefully that visit with Obama this weekend, this past week, helps them out in that. And I did want to talk about that. That was kind of a bright spot right after, you know, the Columbus Crew game. They turn right around and go visit Obama. And it seemed like the team got a really big boost out of it, which is very, very good news. It seems like they're thinking more positively. They now sort of they're coming back into understanding, like, yes, we were champions last year. It is possible. We did do it. And, you know, this is what we get because these are the kinds of moments you get because you're a champion, you know? And it's a neat thing. And hopefully it instilled a lot of confidence in them and, you know, made them realize what they're playing for.
Yeah. That's what every team is playing for. They're playing for trophies and they're playing for chances to meet the president.
Yep.
Hopefully they can do it again next year because that's the only trophy that they have a chance to win.
Right. That's the only trophy.
CCL doesn't really count.
Yeah, the CCL, right. We're not going to win any trophies for getting out of our group first. But you know, it's good. Hopefully this is the turnaround moment. I'm skeptically optimistic. This was the turnaround point. We got a really hard July coming up.
Well, fortunately, we're starting the July off in a July 4th game, which the Rapids are notoriously hard to beat in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to cover Houston, or you want to complain about Bob Bradley for a while?
Well, let's complain about Bob Bradley for a while.
Oh, okay.
So let's.
Who watched the Gold Cup? Anyone watch the Gold Cup? Because I wish I hadn't watched the Gold Cup.
And you guys watched the Gold Cup? Yeah.
I could have been doing a number of things besides watching the Gold Cup that would have been far more fun to watch.
I did not watch the Gold Cup. I was actually watching Twitter updates on the Gold Cup.
Weren't you at a party?
Yeah, I was at a raging party.
You could have invited me.
Yeah, well, it wasn't.
I would have much rather been at a party than watching that. even when the U.S. went up 2-0, I was like, oh God, I'm having flashbacks of the Confederations Cup.
Yeah, that and well as you should have.
That was my immediate thought when it happened. And hey, look, I'm a prophet.
You should have. I think the United States played better in the Confederations Cup when they went up 2-0. Over Brazil, because not only did they go up 2-0, but they were playing well. This was 2-0 on breaks. Like, the United States was not playing well, and I knew that. And I was looking at statistics as they were popping up, and I'm like, Mexico's got all possession. Mexico is giving them nothing, except on the – and then they get a lucky break. And I'm like, whoa, can't believe that just happened. And then it happened again, and I'm like, whoa. Someone's going to get a talking to at halftime, you know, like this, because Mexico is dominant right now. And when those two goals happened, then two more goals happened. you can't put it all on Jonathan Bornstein. I refuse to let Bob Bradley off the hook ever, and then just go, well, it was Jonathan Bornstein. Oh, look, who picks a guy for his squad at left back, a notoriously, you know, as his left back, who has had no real match experience in the past few months? He's cold. You pick a guy who's cold. You pick this guy who's not doing that much. Michael Bradley hasn't had that much match experience in the past, you know, a couple months before his dad picks him for the Gold Cup roster. I mean, you've got these two cold guys coming in, and neither of them particularly in form. I understand picking Freddie Adu over Jonathan Bornstein. Why pick Freddie Adu? Because he's in form. He's in form.
Put Freddie Adu at left back.
Right. I mean, you pick
it Freddie. Worked.
Like, Freddie Adu is in form. He's playing well for Rizespor. You pick him. It's obvious. I don't care what, you know, American soccer fans are like, oh, Freddie Adu. And then he, you know, made a couple really good moves. And now all of a sudden American soccer fans are like, yay, Freddie Adu. No, he's playing well for his club and a tough league. And thus he gets a spot. The spots that I'm concerned with were Michael Bradley and Jonathan Bornstein and any number of other players who aren't hot for their clubs right now.
I'm always concerned when Michael Bradley's playing.
I mean,
he's not a bad player at all. He's not a bad defensive midfielder. The problem is that he's a defensive midfielder, and he's not a terrible defensive midfielder. He makes good moves in the defense. He's good at taking the ball in possession in the midfield. But he tries a little too often, for my taste, to get into the offensive side of things. And when he's from about 6 yards out, he's great. You remember the goal he scored against Slovenia in the World Cup? You saw the goal he scored against Mexico. Both of those were really close-range shots that he was able to just pound into the net, and he can do that. But he tries to do some Jeff Lorenowitz stuff as well when he's outside of the box, and he just doesn't have the accuracy to do it. He shot maybe 4 or 5 times in that game after getting that good corner header. And he, nothing. The closest one he had was a curling shot that missed the net.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all that there was for Michael Bradley. So, and a good coach, air quotes around the words, good coach here, would go to Michael Bradley and say, hey, you should probably cool it off with the shooting from outside the box there. We have strikers and they were playing a 4-2-3-1 basically?
Yeah.
So they had
4-1-4-1. I can't remember.
Well, it was because I know Jones and Bradley were both back in defense,
mm-hmm.
and they had like a Donovan, Adu. I can't even remember who the other guy starting up in the attack was with Agudelo up top or some, but Dempsey was up top.
Yeah.
But a good coach would say, look, we have 4 guys ahead of you that are doing the attacking.
Mm-hmm.
So you pass the ball to them. Like, Adu was playing well. He had a great shot early in the game that I think the keeper got a hand to it. It was a close one. So he had a good chance. Dempsey had a couple of chances. Donovan obviously scored a goal. He was fairly invisible the rest of the night, but he scored a goal.
Yeah.
So every time Bradley would just sit 25 yards out and just ignore everyone else on the pitch and just wail the ball near the net, and then it would miss the net completely. Frustrating. Right. Frustrating to watch Michael Bradley play when he tries to get into the offense too much.
Yeah. I mean, what he needs to work on is distribution. Like, he needs to realize that his fundamental role as a defensive midfielder, you basically pull a Jeff Lorenowitz, like, or a Pablo Mascherini. Like, Pablo and Jeff don't normally get up that far and try and shoot. Like, it's not that often that it happens. And when they do shoot, you know, it's a fairly good chance. But what the key is to being any kind of good defensive midfielder, and I put up, as much as it gags me to say it, Kyle Beckerman in that regard, when you have a defensive midfielder who's that good, is basically the key is their distribution. They can be tough and they can be bulldogs and go around and, you know, dispossess people. But the key for me is are they good distributors? Not can they take shots, but can they distribute and put the ball in good places and give the ball to the right people so that they can put it in good places. And Michael Bradley has not shown me that he's a very good distributor. He's not a very shrewd possessor of the ball. You know, and that's sort of the key to me. I think that's why Jones is better at that. I think, and I also think Jose Torres is better at that. I mean, his distribution is better.
And where was Jose Torres?
Oh, he wasn't even in the 18. You know, he wasn't even called up. I mean, because he's one of the most skilled players that there is, and he's hot for his club. And you know, Bob Bradley didn't call him up, and I don't know why. He doesn't call up these skilled players who are hot for their clubs, and usually, and Robbie Rogers, was Robbie Rogers hot for the Crew? No, he wasn't doing very well for the Crew. at the time.
Is Robbie Rogers ever hot for anyone?
Well, I mean, he has been good in the past, but it's just, it's like Bob Bradley's too obsessed, I think, with this idea that he's got his guys. You know, he's got, like, I've got my guys, and these are the guys I go to, like Bornstein, of course, and Kleshchen. Kleshchen's good. I'm not going to deny it.
Don't be mean to Kleshchen. He's one of the few things that Bradley might have gotten right.
Right, through no fault of his own. I mean, the Kleshchen is a really good player. I think Bradley plays him out of position. He doesn't play him. Kleshchen's, you know, hot for his club, doing well there, in good form, but Bradley plays him in a different position than his club plays him in, and you get sort of predictable results. I mean, Kleshchen is good, but he could be better. He could be better in that position that he's played for Anderlecht, I think it is. Anderlecht? And it's a Belgian name. So Gulati, just getting to the point of all this, Sunil Gulati said that there was going to be an announcement regarding like a major announcement regarding U.S. soccer. And I'm hoping that it is that he is stepping down and firing Bob Bradley at the same time. knowing my luck, I will get neither.
Knowing my luck, he's promoting Bob Bradley to his position and right. stepping down.
And then he is going to take over as U.S. men's national team coach.
It could happen.
I would be so happy if Gulati just said, you know what? The people are right. Bob Bradley really is not a great tactician. In fact, I don't think he even is a tactician. I think he's been clearly outclassed in so many different ways, and the only reason we've pulled through in all these matches is because our players are fairly good.
Look at the two biggest wins he's ever had. They were both on miracles at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Phil Haber scoring that goal in the 07 Gold Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It was that last-minute goal against Mexico, and then Algeria, Landon Donovan scoring the dying seconds on a miracle goal.
There's a reason you don't want to be called, you know, your nickname to be the cardiac arrest kids or the heart attack kids. Like, there's a reason you don't want to be called that, and that's because you're not showing any kind of real skill and domination on the pitch. You're just showing that, you know, you got fight, and that's great that you got fight and that you'll fight to the end and all that stuff and you'll never give up. That's great. But in soccer, you're not going to become a dominant soccer country if you're not dominating on the pitch. Like, you saw that Mexico game. Mexico was dominating on that pitch. Yep. And people say, like, oh, well, we have better results against Mexico. Like, did you see the game? Like, it's not necessarily just about results. It's about
the
fact...
When's the last time they had a better result against Mexico? 2007?
Yeah, the 2-0.
Is that it?
We've beaten Mexico more times than they've beaten us. But the fact is, Mexico looks dominant on the pitch. That is a fact, and that is why they get called the juggernauts of CONCACAF, and we don't. Because they are dominant out on that pitch, and we win if we're lucky. I'm just kind of sick of winning just on dumb luck. Like, it's great, it's great every once in a while. It got us an MLS Cup. But after a while, you just want to stop seeing the dumb luck and start seeing some actual skill on the ball and actual domination on the pitch. And that's what I want to see. And
maybe we'll see some of that on Sunday against Houston.
We're hoping so. So getting on
to
Houston.
We're hoping so. That should be a good match for the Rapids to bounce back in. Brad Davis probably won't play for Houston. And quite honestly, Brad Davis is Houston.
Brad Davis is...
He is their offense.
Brad Davis, I put it this way, Brad Davis is to Houston as Jamie Smith is to the Rapids.
Look who's starting up top for Houston. They're starting guys like Will Bruin, the rookie. He's starting up top for them. Brian Ching.
Yeah, Brian Ching is good, though. Brian Ching is still good. Will Bruin, also good. Dangerous striker.
Ching was good. Now he's consistently injured, and his play's declined a fair amount.
Yeah, he's
like, he won't be getting called up to the U.S. anymore.
No, I think that
not that he should be, but
2010 was his last shot. Was his last shot at that? Bit sad, but
so their offense flows completely through Brad Davis,
Cam Weaver,
Cam Weaver. Well, Cam Weaver's good as well, of course.
And
their team seems to be Brad Davis and a lot of straight up role players.
There's Cam Weaver and who else? There's one, Bruin, Chang, Weaver. Who's another guy that I'm trying to remember here? Jeff Cameron. Jeff Cameron. No, Jeff Cameron is another guy to really watch out for. I mean,
they have Colin Clark too. I heard that guy is pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard that Colin Clark is pretty good, but his form's fallen off.
Well, you're out 2 years in a row basically because of
the
same injury. What was it, ACL tear?
Yeah, and Colin's a true winger. I mean, you can see like the difference, like say the difference between him and like a Brad Davis or a Jamie Smith is that, I mean, Colin's a true winger who can stretch the game, and that's one thing that the Rapids have sort of been missing, because Niasse's wasn't really up to Colin. I don't know if Niasse's gelled with the squad yet and the way that Colin had, even though Colin was off form and off target a lot of times, at least he was able to gel with the squad. Now we've got a guy with a lot of talent, I think more talented than Clark, but less gelled with the squad than Clark. But yeah,
if we're talking about good players for Houston as well, you have to bring up Tally Hall.
Yeah.
We didn't get the best impression of Tally Hall when we last played the Dynamo because that really dumb error he made on the Jamie Smith free kick that led to our first goal. But if you've been watching Houston all year long, if you've caught a few other Houston games, early in the season, Hall was keeping them in games. He's replaced Pat Onstad better than Pat Onstad could have ever imagined, probably.
I mean, Pat Onstad was, I think that was I think it was a good choice. I mean, Dom Kinnear knows how to pick his people. And the Dynamo play a fairly consistent game. I mean, the Dynamo play the Dynamo way every single time. They also end up, you know, being one of the more, how do I put this nicely, foully teams in the league. Foully?
The more foully teams. I think the word is dirty.
I don't like calling the Dynamo dirty. They just
team just like us.
Yeah, I ever since being labeled with, you know, dirty, you know, that being called a dirty team, I've sort of reexamined what people mean by dirty. Like, what do you mean by that? And really,
it means your team beat us and we're mad.
Yeah, that's in essence what it means. And Dynamo, I don't think they're a particularly dirty team. I just think that they play aggressively, they play physically. Again, like the Rapids. And I think the Rapids somewhat are modeled on the Dynamo, and why not? They had back-to-back success. I think a lot of clubs are modeled on, I think the Crew were actually modeled on the Dynamo as well. I mean, they had a successful formula. And both those teams had formulas that worked for them, and now, you know, Rapids have picked that up, and they've done so with very little money. I mean, how do you run a club? How do you run a championship club with as little money as we do? I mean, we're the 15th in the league for salary, and yet we are the champions. You know,
and look who's the second highest paid on the team. It's Caleb Folan.
Yeah, it's Folan. So, speaking of Folan, we will be seeing him this weekend, probably paired up with...
Most likely. Gary Smith any guarantees about that.
I think it's going to be him and Cummings. Up front. That's what I'm hoping for. I think Folan and Cummings are two of the most skilled on the ball that I've seen on that team. I think Folan is in need of... I think some people have said the Folan experiment has failed. The Folan experiment has failed.
We exaggerate a bit here in Colorado.
I mean, that's a huge exaggeration. I think that Folan has shown me that he's got a lot of, like I said, skill on the ball. He likes to take shots. And he's not afraid of going one-on-one with defenders, and he can beat them. So I think those are the things that I wanted to see in a striker, and those are the things we're getting out of him. And the reason why I'd have him ahead of Akpan on the depth chart is simply because of his experience. I think he's more experienced than Akpan. So I'd actually have him in over Andre, even though I think Andre is very skilled on the ball. I think he's one of the most skillful players we have. He's just doesn't have the experience that Follin does, and if I had to choose one over the other, I'd choose Follin.
As long as it's not Amari Kwa, we should be good.
Yeah, Amari Kwa would... I don't know if Amari Kwa would work out against
Houston. Who played the last Dynamo game? Wasn't it Cummings Akpan that started everything?
I think it was Cummings... I thought it was Cummings Amerikwa.
Okay, it was one of those two pairings. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, because...
eventually Cummings went out injured, and I think Follin came in.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks about right.
Don't you have the chalkboard up? Look.
I do. I'm looking. Yeah, it looks like... It looked like it was Casey and... Never mind.
Casey was out with a hamstring during that game.
It was... Akpan played 44, Follin played 56, Cummings played 31, and Amerikwa played 17. So I think it was full. I think it was a Follin. I think it was Follin, Cummings to start, then...
Oh, okay.
Then Akpan came in for Cummings, and then Amerikwa came in for Follin.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so...
I'd buy that for a dollar.
So what I want to see, I'd like to see Cummings, Follin up front. I'm excited about what they can do together, if they can link
up. I
want
to see Anthony Wallace at left back.
I want to see Anthony Wallace at left back.
Please.
I want to see Jamie Smith and Brian Mullen in. I want to see Mullen playing well. I want to see Mullen, you know, getting back into you know, distributing.
What's Marvell Wynn's status?
Marvell Wynn,
I think
injury
he had
report.
The injury report up.
Yeah, I had the injury report up. Marvell Wynn is probable.
Marvell Wynn
is probable. So he's the same thing as Matt Pickens. Matt Pickens always plays. Nane is probable, and Cummings is probable.
So we might actually see the entire MLS Cup winning starting 11 this week.
We may. If Smith wants to reward us with that and really get us back into it, then...
It'd be nice. Fortunately, it's a July 4th game, even though it's being played on July 3rd. I'm still counting it as a July 4th game.
The
Rapids are notoriously difficult to beat on July 4th. They're 11-2-2 all time.
That is correct. And just throwing this out there, this needs to be a win that really sends a message. To the league,
yeah.
Because the Rapids have sent the wrong message. I think we can both agree on that one. The Rapids have sent the complete wrong message to the league, basically saying we're weak. You know, like we're
come
not
at us.
Come at us. You know, now's the time to get your points, buddies. You know, get that goal differential up. You know, and the Rapids need to start sending the right message by just pounding the snot out of Houston. That's what needs to happen. Gary Smith needs to be as ruthless as he has been in the past with Dom Kinnear. And last year when Dom Kinnear came here, we beat them, 3-0?
Yeah, 3-0. And I think they were down to 10 men for most of the game.
Yeah, they were down to 10 men because, wasn't it Palmer who went out? Because he...
Palmer, karate kicked Pablo Mastroeni.
Yeah. Okay, so that was that. And, So a 3-0 win would be great. That's the result that I want to see from the weekend. I want to see another...
That's the result that we should see.
That's the result.
In all honesty, Brad Davis isn't playing. If Brad Davis doesn't play for the Dynamo and the Rapids send out their MLS Cup winning squad and it's on July 4th, if the Rapids don't win by at least two goals, then something's wrong.
Yeah, then something is seriously wrong.
Then something is seriously wrong with the team, and we're going to have to start dissecting that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, so I'm going to say 3-0 win, Rapids. What do you think?
I'm going to go with the old standard last year of 4-1.
4-1, all right.
If we have Follin come... Oh, wait, I guess we can't see it because Casey won't be in, but Follin's basically just the Connor Casey with slightly less skill, so, yeah.
I would say he's Connor Casey with slightly less experience with the Rapids. We'll put it that way.
There you go. That's good. He's slightly less physical as well.
Yeah.
Despite what that red card would have you believe against the Galaxy.
Yeah, that one. So, you know, I predict 3-0.
So you got 3-0, I got 4-1. Hopefully we'll see a win. Because that would be that's a good way for them to get me into that gorilla suit. They want to win there, yeah. Ben?
What up? Sorry about that.
You kind of disappeared for a second there.
My Skype cut out. Okay. Oh. And that's about time to wrap it up, don't you think?
Yeah, well, we haven't quite hit 40 minutes yet. So it's shorter than usual. Okay, that's all we got for today. Join us next time. We're going to do mid-season player rankings.
It's going to be great, guys. You guys should really tune into that. We're going to probably go over time. So, you know,
we're going to go way over time.
We're going way over time on that one. So, you know,
long.
Get your coffee clutches together, you know.
Get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn. Yeah, right. All right, well, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And
we'll see you next week.
Go Rapids.
If we have a show next week. We can't make any promises on that with the way this is going. Okay, see you next week. Go Rapids. Goodbye. Hey. Okay.